grass, ganja, joint, doobie, do, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come here, man.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
And we're joined by Chris in a faraway land. How are you, Chris?
Oh, g'day. Millie, awesome. Very good. How are you?
Very good. And I hope all the listeners are good, too.
That's right. Hopefully everyone's prepared and in the right mindset for 420.
I hope so, sincerely.
I have great confidence. I have a lot of confidence in the BFM listeners that they're doing their bits, for 420.
I would say so. Rightio, what's on our plate today?
Well, actually, quite a few stories this week. Leading, though, is one about driving. It was the drug driving law. And it's Radio New Zealand that legal cannabis cards highlight flaws of roadside testing. And what's happened here is the Cannabis Clinic, which is New Zealand's biggest clinic, and apparently about a third of prescriptions for medical cannabis are going through them. So they're going to develop, or saying they're going to develop, what they're calling a CannaCard ID that people can present a stop by police to show that they're legally using it, which is kind of interesting in its own right. And the reason why this might be needed is that the drug driving regime that the government's bringing in doesn't actually check impairment and doesn't even aim to. It's just aiming to find recent use. And they've picked these levels of 1 nanogram indicating recent use and 3 nanograms being supposedly high risk. There's actually no evidence behind those figures at all. But the saving grace of it, because what this means, of course, is that there's going to be a lot of unimpaired people that are going to be pinged by this new regime when it comes in, which is a saliva test followed by a blood test. And the saliva tests are admitted by the government to be so unreliable that they're going to make people do 2, because if you fail just one of them, that could just be down to the test itself. So they're going to make people do 2, and if you fail 2. So they're actually admitting, you know, that they're really unreliable. But the saving grace is there is a defence if you have a prescription. It's the same defence that applies to all prescription drugs. It's not a specific one for medical cannabis. And it doesn't actually let people drive impaired. It's not a defence that says, oh, you've got a prescription for medical cannabis, drive as impaired as you want. That's not what it's saying. It's saying if you're not impaired, but you're busted anyway, which is what this law is going to do, then you have a defence to that. And you can kind of see, you do need that because the thing is so flawed. The interesting thing is these CannaCards don't have any kind of legal basis. So it's good that the Cannabis Clinic's kind of thinking proactively to do it, but whether the police would actually accept that. What they will accept is the little label that's on the prescription product. That's all that counts. And I get actually, even someone came into the shop today talking about getting their cannabis card, and there's no such thing as a cannabis card. It doesn't have any legal basis. It's the product having being current and valid is what the words are. And then you have a current and valid prescription. But the Council of Civil Liberties, they've weighed in and said, well, this just shows how flawed it is. And interesting thing, Thomas Beagle of the Council of Civil Liberties, in their submission on this bill, which they've released to the public and is in this Radio New Zealand story, they actually asked for all the evidence that the government had to justify it, and they got this document that was heavily redacted. Then he put in another request under the Official Information Act, and he got the unredacted version. And what they had redacted was the concerns around reliability. They were actually hiding the bit where the government said to itself, these tests are unreliable, they don't measure impairment, and there's serious concerns with them. They redacted all of that and kept it hidden.
Wow. I mean, that's a bit scary.
It is. It is. Yeah. And as Thomas Beagle says, they're actually acknowledging that they're not measuring impairment. And it's not a road safety measure. It's just a measure to try and catch people who have smoked cannabis and punish them for that.
Yeah, I think going back to the cannabis card, I think that's always been a bit of an urban legend, is that you can get this kind of get out of jail for free card. But it's actually if you have an active and valid prescription, isn't it?
That's exactly exactly right. Yeah, and like any other prescription, that's the little sticker that goes on the product. Like, you don't get a card when you're prescribed paracetamol. You don't get a card when you're prescribed some anxiety meds or whatever it is. It's treated the same as any other med, and the defense is exactly the same. But as you've just said, it's not a get out of jail free and lets people drive impaired. It's for when you're wrongly pinged as being impaired, and then you get to say, hey, the reason I've got those residues is because I've got a prescription for it.
There you go.
So I do need to correct something too. I had said a week or two back that had already become law, and I got confused a bit. It's actually not passed yet.
Okay.
So, and if even I can get confused over it, it kind of shows what a bit of a dog's breakfast it is. But it's actually still with the Transport and Infrastructure Committee. They're due to report back to Parliament by the 5th of December, and then Parliament will then vote on it or change it or whatever after that. So even though submissions have changed or closed, there's still an opportunity where people can directly contact either the Transport and Infrastructure Committee itself or individual members who are on it, who you know, might be your MP or might be a party that you support, and also your own MP or leaders, or anyone like that. You can write to them and say, maybe even the Minister, Simeon Brown, send them a quick email and say, you know, this is really wrong and you need to change it and so forth. So still an opportunity for people to influence it if they want to.
Get your letter writing fingers ready, listeners.
Write those
letters. Yep. Good move. You've got good news here as well.
Yeah, this is good news. Yeah. This is the coming of Christ. and apparently, you know, we've been waiting 2,000 years for this, for the coming of Christ.
Long
time. The Herald this week said that Christ appeared at Hastings. And, kind of interesting. So this is inside Hastings' first medical cannabis consumption lounge, which is called Highly Regarded.
Nice.
And this was a pop-up medical cannabis consumption lounge that was held as part of their Fringe Festival. And as a cannabis vape store called Puha Express, they decided to get in on the Fringe Festival and organise this pop-up thing. And so the back room was a medical consumption lounge. Anthony Van Duren, very nice guy, he told the crowd that they were welcome to vape only medical marijuana. But he also stated that since he was not a police officer nor a doctor, he could not legally ask to see anyone's prescription. And as Jack Riddle, who was the reporter, was there, said that no one in the crowd seemed to be too bothered by this. He then mentioned that Christ wasn't too far away. And I've got to read this out because it's quite funny. After briefly assuming he was talking about the Son of God, a skinny man with a long beard wearing a cannabis-themed suit coat walks into the room carrying large suitcases. This was Hemp Star Christ, a self-described weed professor who had taken a trip down to Auckland for the event. Christ runs the Whakamana Cannabis Museum's Auckland location, based out of Hopetown Alpha near K Road, and he looked exactly like you would imagine someone named Hemp Star Christ would look. And he's a lovely guy, he's a great friend of mine, and you may have seen him on Border Patrol, where he took his medical cannabis over to Australia and back. And wearing that very same cannabis-themed suit, and the Border Patrol cameras spotted him, and they filmed the customs officer pulling him aside, and he said, "This is my medical cannabis." And the customs officer was like, "What the hell?" And went out the back and came back and said, "Yeah, you're right," and gave it back to him and sent him on his way.
Nice.
So that was a great little educational spot on Border Patrol that led in. All those sort of boomer viewers on TV1. Then got to know that, actually, you can get your medical cannabis, and not only that, you can go to Australia and back with it.
Exactly. I mean, it's quite a suit, though, to wear through to wear through airport security, let alone maybe the streets.
That's right. He was actually in here the other day, and we've had some hemp T-shirts arrive from the States that have an all-over canna print, and Christ got one of those to fully complete the weed-themed suit.
There you go, head on down to the hemp store.
What was next? Is an interesting one because it's so unashamedly pro-cannabis. And this is Tainui Stevens, journalist, filmmaker and storyteller. He's done some amazing stuff over the years. Turns out he's unapologetically pro-cannabis because working in bars has completely put him off booze. And he writes on e-tangata that he's happy to get high. But he does caution, you know, not every adult responds well to cannabis, and, you know, it is a drug, so, you know, take care. And I thought it was very good advice. So if people want to read that, it's on eTangata, KLNZ.
It's a really interesting article. I read the whole thing. He raised the point of kind of, you know, people are human and they're going to want to find an escape regardless, you know?
That's right. And and for him it was a means of relaxation, and I think that's true for a lot of people, certainly for me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I thought I really liked. He says one of the funny stories he recounts was going into a pharmacy to get some drops for his eyes, and after standing there a bit too long, he then says to the pharmacist, "I'd like to get some red eyes, please." To which she said, "You've already got them."
Oh, gotta love a scrape like that.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
Right, and then moving right along, this actually just came out today, and being a bit more serious now, because this does actually raise some serious ethical issues. This is in the spin-off. Can a conflict, that is the name of the article, should drug companies be able to own doctors' clinics? And they talk about how all these clinics have popped up to supply or to have people go to a specialist medical cannabis doctor, a doctor who perhaps knows a bit more about it than their own GP and is therefore more willing to do that script because they've undergone, you know, a bit of the training and they know how to answer your questions and that kind of thing. Turns out there's no, and this has always been the case, there's actually no legal barrier for a drug company to own a doctor clinic. And and the spin-off is kind of saying, well, hey, doesn't that raise conflicts of interest when you have, for example, Cannasouth owning its own clinic called Restore Me? And Cannasouth has five products approved under the medical cannabis scheme, and there's the spin-off says there's no, they haven't seen any evidence or any indication that the doctors at Restore Me are favoring Cannasouth products, but they're just kind of raising that there's this potential. Doctors could, you know, if the company is paying their salary, which turns out they're completely legally allowed to, that perhaps it might make them more likely to prescribe those products. But as I say, that's all theory because they haven't seen any evidence, there's been no complaints received. And this is actually the same as any other medicine. So if we look, for example, at Green Cross Health, they own 300 pharmacies, 60 medical practices, and a wholesale pharmaceutical distribution company. So they have the bringing in the medicines, the doctors prescribing them, and the pharmacies dispensing them, all owned by the same company. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, Life and Unichem. Those are everyday pharmacies that people go to. So, and in fact, Unichem has its own online medical cannabis dispensary now. So, you know, as I say, it's something that other companies do and seem more than able to manage any potential conflicts. So, but it is something that if you're going to a clinic, it's something that you can ask the doctor, or, you know, do you have any links to this? Is there any conflict that I should be aware of? And, and I guess that's also something if you go into a specialist or kind of private healthcare as well, you know.
Totally.
They kind of operate outside the regular funded system. Mm. But, yeah, as a patient or a consumer, you know, ask all those sorts of questions so that you have the knowledge.
I think it is one to watch in terms of, you know, it's just one that the Ministry of Health or, you know, whoever's in charge of that side of things should just be aware of.
And they are. And in fact, I remember when we were going down to meet the ministry in the consultation phase of these regulations, and it was, that question was put to them, and they said, well, there's no barrier to it. And they pointed to that other, you know, companies in the regular pharmaceutical side already do that. So those conflicts are managed through the Medical Council, not the Ministry of Health itself, mm-hmm. and who are quite hands-off. And doctors, as I say, are managed by the Medical Council. For complaints received, then it goes through there. So, I mean, the point being, it's the same as any other medicine. And so these issues are not unique to cannabis. They apply to any kind of medicine.
Mm, totally, they do. So what's happening at the hemp store or around this week?
Well, you can come and get your medical cannabis prescription and bring your questions.
Same time
doctor,
this week?
Ask the doctor, do you have any conflicts of interest? So Friday and Saturday, back to regular times, 12
cool.
to 4:20.
Cool.
$30 consults at the hemp store, no appointment, just rock on in. And as I say, bring your questions, and if you've got hard ones like that, like, what kind of money do you make off this? Ask the doctor. Ask the doctor. Yeah. They're more than willing to share that with you.
Yeah.
And then you can make an informed choice yourself.
Good stuff.
Coming up at Whakamana, speaking of Christchurch Star from before, they've got a Halloween party, and it's called Halloweed.
Halloweed.
Halloweed. Thursday, 31st October. Which is Halloween night, of course, Whakamana Cannabis Museum, but we open late.
Cool.
And then not too far away now, 7th of December, is J-Day in Albert Park. And boy, that's shaping up to be a good one.
Ooh,
so put
exciting.
That in your diary, and we'll see you there.
That's so exciting. Well, cheers for chatting to me today, Chris. Very interesting stuff.
Well,
and
thank you.
We'll catch you next week.
Nice. See you.
All right. See you.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.